Much of what we choose to focus on is triggered by what we think about. And so as we begin this new series today, Paul talks about the importance of this concept. Our thoughts have the power either to drag us down to an emotional and spiritual valley of death, or to lift us high to the mountaintop. As a foundational rule, focusing on the negatives will make it very difficult for us to see the positives. We hope to help you in this series to think about the positive things, to learn to be aware of our thought process on a daily basis. This is an important factor in a healthy walk with Christ, and even our view of God that we often skip over. We want to dive deeper into Scripture, and based on Philippians 4 and 8, the things Paul wants us to be thinking about all come from Scripture. This is very foundational. If we are going to focus on the right things, we have to start with where our thoughts are right now. And so we are really glad that you have joined us here today to worship with us in this space.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and we worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He! Together we see, together we see. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up our hands. Lord, joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and we worship Him now. How great and awesome is He! Together we sing. Together we sing. Holy is the Lord, God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory.
Still be my vision, O ruler. shining. Jesus, light of the world, shine upon us. Set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on.
Found yourself looking for something and then you couldn't remember what it was that you were doing or looking for? I guess if we were sitting here in person, we'd all raise our hands and say, absolutely. And you've had to tell yourself to stay focused. This most likely caught you off guard a little bit, and it may have even gotten you to ask yourself, why did I lose my focus? How many times, I wonder, has a teacher in the classroom said to the children, stay focused, as they were leading in the class's discussion. He or she knew that the information that was being given was very important, and if we were not careful, we would miss out on something of significance. You see, the teacher knew where that focus needed to be in that particular moment. Today, as we begin a brand new sermon series revolving around this same concept, focus, it is a word and idea that we hear in more places than just school, and is something God desires from us each day. However, here is the truth we should all recognize. The world around us loves to be a thief when it comes to our focus. It's far too easy to scroll for hours on end through our favorite social media platform, and before you know it, time has slipped away. You can be so focused on someone's negativity that you lose sight of what's positive in one's life. We can be so focused on our past that we miss what God's doing in the present and what He's leading us to be in the future. Simply put, our focus has the potential to influence our day-to-day faith. Over the next few weeks, we're going to allow God to influence our focus in a very positive way. Now, it may require some rewiring, but trust me when I say it will be worth it. We're going to be camping out at Philippians 4 and 8, where he is talking about the importance of what we think about, the thoughts that come in and out of our minds on a day-to-day basis. And that if we allow God, I believe God desires to show us how we can focus on the good. Philippians 4 and 8 says, here's what Paul says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And Paul mentions a few different words in that single verse when telling us to think about all of that which could be defined as good. However, knowing what good thoughts are is one thing, and putting them in our brain and choosing to focus on them is another. And so how do we do this consistently? I believe there is a process to thinking thoughts like the ones Paul mentions. And one of the steps in order to simplify that is to recognize the wrong. Do you remember times when your parents taught you the difference between right and wrong? It might have been a very long process, but now as adults, we can easily define what is right and wrong in most situations, especially when it comes to using words. Oftentimes when we are thinking, we are subconsciously having a dialogue with ourselves. Naturally, many of our thoughts revolve around us, some good, some bad, some indifferent. But if we know how to point out something that is wrong in the world around us or in the conversations we are involved in, we also have to practice this with ourselves. If we want to see our negative thoughts emptied out of our minds, we have to be willing to focus on them when they come into our heads. You see, the Bible gives us categories, even in this one verse in Philippians, that show us what positive thinking looks like. The way we recognize the negative thoughts include filtering them through these categories. In Ephesians 4 and 29, Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." I believe God's desire is not just to use words to encourage others, but to also to encourage us. The truth is, we will naturally place our focus on the things that distract us. This is why social media, TV, radio, media in general has the potential to be such a large distraction, because it gives us a sense of peace from what we may be facing in the real world. So many things in today's world can rob us of our peace if we've been searching for a sense of peace lately. The root issue may very well begin with what is coming in and out of our minds. And if we want to get our peace back, maybe, just maybe, it's got to start with recognizing what has been stolen from us in the first place. And then we're to rediscover the replacement. There are countless times in Scripture where we get the sense Jesus does not just desire to take some things away from us, like sin or struggles in our lives, but he intends to put something better in their place when he does. The same is true when it comes to our thought processes. God's desire is not for our negative or unhealthy thoughts. Instead, he wants us to meditate on the positive things mentioned by Paul in Philippians 4 and 8. How do we do this in our everyday lives? Well, the writer of Psalm 1 lays it out clearly for us in verse 2, where he says, "Delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night." The law of the Lord is often interpreted as strictly the Ten Commandments listed in the Old Testament. However, I fully believe the verse applies to all of Scripture. The good things listed by Paul in Philippians only come through knowing the Word of God. And there are so many incredible stories and teachings in this book of the Bible which will influence the way we think day to day. Whatever we immerse ourselves in, the most will eventually come out of us. This is why I firmly believe meditation, spending time in God's presence, leads to transformation. Paul actually talks about this concept elsewhere in the New Testament. In Romans 12 and 2, he says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The replacement that God wants to make for your and my negative thoughts are positive ones. However, the deciding factor in the equation is time spent meditating on God's word, allowing him to transform us day by day. So how do we do that? What do we use? Well, there are many Bible apps today that can help us with our meditating on God's word. And for me, I know that once I discovered knowing God's word was the key to finding the good things Paul talks about in Philippians, I was willing to do what it would take to get those things in my mind. However, this is not the end of the process. We as humans have a tendency to get comfortable in our progress and eventually take steps backwards. And so this leads us to the fact and the final step in this process where we accumulate accountability. If there is one thing I know about the body of Christ, it is that we are not meant to do life all by ourselves. God has gifted us with brothers and sisters, which Paul talks about in Philippians, to hold us accountable in areas to which we are seeking to grow. How do we go about entering into an accountability relationship with someone close to us? I had a beautiful lady who was a mentor to me while living in Australia many, many years ago. We held each other accountable, whether it was in the book that we were studying, whether it was in our Bible reading. We were great friends and colleagues, and we still are great friends. But there's one reason in particular that stood out to me as we got older, and we have remained friends, is that she still genuinely wanted to see me grow. There are many people in your life, I'm sure, whether you recognize them or not, who may say they want to see you grow, but do not actually do anything to help you take steps of growth. In fact, in some cases, they even hold you back. You see, a true friend, a true mentor, a true accountability partner is willing to do what it takes to help you find growth in a healthy way. Now, the factor that remains about this accountability process is that it does require honesty. The reality of accountability is that you may not like what you hear sometimes. However, once you hear it, you can work to change it. In terms of emptying out negative thoughts from our minds, people close to you will be able to see what it is in your head by what flows out of your mouth. Even your body language will show others what you are thinking about. And so if we are willing, those close to us can act as accountability for us. One of the greatest relational situations we can find ourselves in is one where someone else is regularly checking in with us and asking us how much time we have spent in God's Word. How's your prayer life going? This challenge takes us to the steps of growth by forcing us to focus on and think about our relationship with Christ. Focusing on the good things Paul speaks about requires a deep dive into the Bible. You will start to see the amazing things God desires for you when you allow him to transform you step by step. But first, we have to recognize the wrong, the negative thoughts coming in and going out of our minds. And once we do, we can start to allow God to replace that with something even better. And from there, accountability is the key to maintaining any form of transformation. Maybe this coming week, schedule, if you haven't already, have a regular time to read the Bible. Schedule a regular time to do so. Along with reading, take some time to journal, to write down the specific negative thoughts that you've had running through your mind. These could be thoughts about work, your significant others, your friends, your kids, God, the church. The list can go on and on. And then finally commit to chatting with a close friend or a mentor to discuss what you're reading and learning. Pray with them. Ask them to help you identify any negativity or blind spots in your life. As I said at the beginning, this may require some rewiring. But trust me when I say it will be worth it as we allow God to transform our lives together.